This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And people are hungry. We're seeing the highest rates of food insecurity since the years of the Great Recession. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, more than 44 million Americans live in what are called food insecure households. And that includes more than 13 million children. Many of those people are here in Illinois. To take one region as an example, Eastern Illinois, the food bank there says it served 1.5 million people in the past year, and that is a big jump from the year before. Amanda Borden is the Vice President of Development at the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and she joins us now to talk about hunger and food insecurity and how, as we are heading into the holiday season, we can remember the needs of our most vulnerable neighbors. Amanda, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Brian, for having me, and thanks so much for bringing attention to this very important topic.
Sure. So, listeners, if you want to join our conversation today, as ever, the number is 800-222-9455. Especially, I don't know, maybe you work in a school, maybe you work with a church food pantry, wherever you are out there in the world. If you are seeing hunger, if you have experienced food insecurity yourself, we'd love to share your story. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Amanda, I thought maybe we could just begin by outlining the problem before we talk about some of the solutions later on. What does the face of food insecurity look like in 2023?
That's a really good question. And I would say that the face of food insecurity is really any face. What we are seeing is really high numbers of people that are turning to us, and many of them are turning to us for the first time. We see families, hardworking families. We see seniors, children, veterans. A lot of people are really struggling right now. When you go to the grocery store and you see those high prices, we hear from so many of our neighbors that they just can no longer afford their groceries. And so luckily they're able to turn to us, and we're so grateful to have such a philanthropic community that provides so much support to us and then also for our neighbors so that they don't have to face this alone.
Are there particular communities that you see are most vulnerable during these times?
What we're seeing is a lot of seniors that are on a fixed income are really being hit hard. A lot of the rural communities that we serve have a lot of have high senior populations. And so what we are seeing is that it's difficult for them to not only travel to get to places where they can get food, but that their benefits are just not covering everything that they need each month. You talk about utilities and medicine. It doesn't leave a lot left to buy food.
And maybe just to help us understand food insecurity, is this something that is a black or white, on or off sort of, and I don't mean black or white in a racial kind, I should say an on or off, you're either food insecure or you're not, do people sort of come and go out of food insecurity over time?
Sure. That's a really good question. And what we see is that most of the people that we serve do not need our services very long. So they are just temporarily in need. Maybe something happened. Maybe they had a health issue, or maybe their car broke down, or something temporary in their life that led them to be temporarily food insecure. But we also do see people that have more long-term needs. Like I mentioned, a lot of seniors that are on a fixed income, people that maybe have a disability that are on a fixed income, those folks may need more long-term food, emergency food assistance, but it's definitely, it runs the gamut and we see all of it.
So there was a report that the Eastern Illinois Food Bank put out recently, and it said in the communities that the food bank serves, you've seen a 40% increase in need over the last year. What does that look like from your perspective? What does that higher demand mean for the work of the food bank?
Right. It means for us that we have to be very efficient and we have to be always looking ahead. How can we better serve our community? We do anticipate this need is going to stay elevated at least for the foreseeable future. And so that's what we're planning on. One of the things I mentioned before is these rural communities and other underserved communities that may not have access to food pantries or other resources. How can we get food out to those communities? And so one of the things that we've done is reimagined our mobile food distribution program. We call it our food mobile distribution program. And what we do is we take food out to these communities directly to them. So what we're doing is we're meeting our neighbors where they are to provide food so that they don't have to worry about how am I going to get to a town that's 20 miles away in order to get emergency food assistance. And this is a way for us to expand our coverage and our service area and to make sure that more of our neighbors are getting the help that they need during these difficult times.
You know, I think it might be helpful to take a step back and sort of help people understand the way a modern food bank actually works, right? I think a lot of us at this time of year, maybe we're asked to bring a box of Cheerios or a can of mixed vegetables to get into our kids' holiday program. What does that sort of individual carrying a box of food to, and putting it in a cardboard box at the entrance of an auditorium, what does that miss about the way a big modern food bank does its work?
Yeah, that's a really great question. In fact, a lot of people do get confused between what's the difference between a food bank and a food pantry. So Eastern Illinois Food Bank is a warehouse. We are the primary source of food for our network of partners, such as food pantries, shelters, soup kitchens, and other feeding programs who get the food from us. And then they're the ones that put it directly into the hands of those that are seeking food. We do directly serve our neighbors through our mobile food distribution program that I just mentioned, which is our food mobiles. But we do rely heavily on our network of about 160 pantries throughout East Central Illinois to serve our neighbors.
Where does the food bank get its food?
So we get our food from a lot of different sources. We do get most of the food that we get is donated from retail or wholesale or different partners such as that. We also get food through the USDA commodity program as well. And then through community donations from folks that hold food drives and like you mentioned, the food box at the auditorium, things like that will come to us as well. And then we are able to get that food out through our network so it can go to people who need it.
I think I read somewhere that the food bank, the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, traces its origins to a group of 20 people coming together in 1980. Obviously, I know you haven't been there the whole time, but what has changed about this sort of work over the years?
Yeah, that's another really great question. We have grown so much. We were founded in 1983. So this year is a very special year. It is our 40th anniversary. And a lot has changed. So when the food bank was formed back in 1983, we were really a food rescue organization. So if there was food from a grocery store or a manufacturer that was maybe past the quality date, but it was still good to consume and it was still safe to eat, instead of that food going to a landfill, it would come to food banks so that it could be distributed to people who need it. So now, as the need has increased over the last few years, certainly the pandemic has really accelerated that, we are really shifting more from a food rescue organization into a food distribution organization. And what that means is that we will do what we need to do to make sure that our neighbors have access to that food that they need. And that means that sometimes we do have to purchase food to supplement the food that's donated to us.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show, and we're speaking with Amanda Borden, who's Vice President of Development at the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Obviously, we are heading into a time of year when a lot of people are thinking about helping some of our more vulnerable neighbors and charitable giving, and this particular program, we are talking about hunger and specifically food insecurity, I think is the more modern term that people use, goes a little beyond just hunger in talking about what the work of a food bank and food pantries do in this day and age. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So one of the things that caught our attention about this are some of the special programs going this holiday season, and I'm wondering if you can talk about a few of those.
Yeah. So this time of year, we're heading into the big giving season. A lot of folks like to do their charitable donations toward the end of the year during the holiday season. And so this time of year is just a really great time to get people engaged so they can help, like you mentioned, our more vulnerable neighbors during this time. One of the things that we're really excited about is Giving Tuesday, and that is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So this year, that will be November 28th. And this year, we're going to be partnering with four local law enforcement agencies, and those are the Champaign Police Department, the Urbana Police Department, the University of Illinois Police Department, and the Champaign County Sheriff's Office for a competitive food and fun collection event where we're going to have different locations throughout Champaign-Urbana, and people can bring us their food and monetary donations. And each of those different agencies are going to be competing to see who can raise the most. And we're going to be calling that our Stuff the Squad event.
Is there actually going to be a police car stuffed with food? Or
there is, yes. Okay. Yes,
it's a good visual for the TV stations, I guess. Yes.
Yes.
All right. So that's one. Fall into Giving is another.
Yeah. So Fall into Giving is a lot of fun. This is where we coordinate with different schools throughout our service area. And what's so fun about this is that we're able to really engage with different communities throughout the whole 18 counties that we serve. And the schools get involved, and different student groups will lead food and fun drives at their school. And then all that culminates on Giving Tuesday, when we'll go out and pick up all of those donations.
And Fall into Giving, since, I mean, that it's rooted in helping kids, right? What are some of the ways you might have seen rising hunger or food insecurity among children compared to previous years with what's happening now?
Yeah. So when you think about hardworking families and their budgets being stretched so tight, I actually heard from a mom not long ago that said, it's so hard to buy protein. You know, buying meat is so expensive. And she worries, she stresses out, how am I going to buy protein for my children that are growing? So I think that it is something that we are seeing as the need is elevated. It's going to be elevated across the board. So those families that have small children, their budgets are definitely stretched tight right now when they're not able to go to the grocery store and buy the things that they would normally be able to afford.
I also wanted to ask, we're coming to the end of our time together, just a few minutes left in our conversation. I know you've encouraged the community to advocate, so not just donations, but also policy changes, such as the Farm Bill, which, of course, has for many, many years now also included nutrition programs, the SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance programs, and other more narrow ones like, you know, bringing food from farms to food banks. Talk about that advocacy.
Yeah, absolutely. The importance of the Farm Bill is so crucial for the food bank and the work that we're doing. The USDA commodity program is part of that as well. And so, you know, for the food bank, we would definitely not want to see a decrease in those commodity items that would be coming our way. And certainly the SNAP benefits, we do realize that there is no one size fits all approach to alleviating hunger, and that it does take multiple approaches and all of us kind of working together to make sure that our neighbors are getting the food that they need.
So, Amanda, we are a statewide show. People can hear us from Chicago to Carbondale. If someone is listening now and is hungry and needs help, how can they connect with assistance in their community?
Yeah, so if they're in the 18 counties that we serve, they can go to eifoodbank.org and they can click on Find Help, and they'll be able to find resources. We have a map that you put your location in, and it'll show you what is right there by you. But if they are statewide and they're not in our service area, they can just go to Feeding Illinois and they'll be able to find those resources near them.
And if someone is listening from the other side of things and wants to help, what do you need most? Is it volunteers, food, cash, something else?
Yeah, all of the above. I think that, you know, whatever fits best with what people's giving intentions are. But just from a efficiency standpoint, every dollar that is donated to the food bank can be utilized or can be leveraged into three meals for our community. So I would say that if you're looking to make the biggest impact, then probably monetary donations are the way to go.
Amanda Borden with the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's all the time we have for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, the cash bail system in Illinois is now history, but the effects of that system are still being felt in communities of color. We'll talk about people who've experienced that system in person and look at what's changed and what other states might be able to learn from Illinois' experiences. That's coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show. We love hearing what you think about our conversations. Send an email to talk at 21stshow.org. That's talk at 21stshow.org. You can also leave a voicemail or contact us on social media. Every way to find us is on our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can find links to our past segments or subscribe to our podcast. You can also just look us up on Apple or Spotify by searching for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.